Amen. So this morning, and kind of a continuation of our reset series that we're on, I want to talk this morning about a topic that is really, when I learned these truths, it radically changed how I looked at myself, how I looked at kind of the world around me. It helped me alleviate a lot of condemnation, but it also helped me to become the person that God would intend me to be. And continually, not that I'm there, have not arrived, but I'm continually being transformed into His image by the understanding of what I'm going to talk about this morning. So what I want to talk about this morning, it's amazing. I wish that we were that organized that I would say, hey, worship team, if y'all could just do this song on this day, I would appreciate it because it really kind of goes in with the message. That just accidentally happened. This morning when he talked about when that song Spirit Lead Me. And actually my topic this morning is reset, living a Spirit-filled life or a Spirit-led life. So real quick, the biggest revelation for me when I learned the idea that I am a spirit being. I am not just the flesh and blood, right? I am not just the way I think. I am a spirit being, and because I have been born again, my spirit man became alive to God, right? I have taught this, you know, a lot here. So just a real quick, that my spirit man is alive to God. My body evidently didn't change. When I asked Jesus to come in and let after him to be the Lord of my life and to rescue me from my sin. My body, I wish that all of a sudden I had abs when I prayed that prayer. I wish that all of a sudden I have big biceps, you know. But in my mind wasn't fully transformed either. So my mind still sometimes thinks things that don't go according to the word, right? My mind, and I'm not a genius. Hang around me. You don't have to laugh. You don't have to laugh at that. That was not the time to laugh when I said I'm not a genius. Thank you. Front row. The front row. You guys. What's that? That's right. Oh. Well done. It's fun for those who are watching. You said it's funny because you are. Through my spirit man, right, I am connected by the new birth to God. My spirit man and the Holy Spirit now are joined, if you will, that when this Holy Spirit speaks, understanding this will help you hear from the Holy Spirit. Because it'll go away from your mind, your own thinking, you will be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. So my job as a believer is to live predominantly out of my spirit and let my spirit lead me, right? Because my spirit is connected and has conversation, if you will, with the Holy Spirit, right? By my spirit, I can have hope. How many of your minds don't want you to have hope, but it's your spirit that gives you hope? By my spirit, I have faith. Faith is of the spirit. How many of you have known that some of you, I talked to you this morning and you're going through some stuff and all of those things are rattling in your mind, right? But faith comes out of your spirit because the Spirit of God is teaching you and showing you truth. And then also, how about this? So, and the way I love others comes out of my spirit. Out of my spirit. So our job is to be people that live by the Spirit, controlled by our spirits. I was talking to somebody that was in marching band, so not being in marching band, I don't know this. Isaac, Lily, you guys will know this well. Jessica, I think you were in marching band. But if you were in my, how many of you are, where are my marching band people? Oh, cool. Wow, I hope I get this example right because this would be really embarrassing. So when you march, as I'm told, I have two sisters that were in the marching band. I didn't. That's a whole nother story. Maybe I'll tell that one day. But when you march on the ones and threes. Am I right? You march on the ones and threes. So Jessica was telling me this week that even when, so she did marching band for all those years, it's ingrained in her now. Now, when she's walking in the mall, in the stores, she hears a song and she's walking, guess what she walks on? The ones and threes. She is walking in step with the ones and threes. One, the beat one and three, right? One and two and three, right? Okay. The music, yeah, yeah. You should know this, bass player. Oh my goodness, here we go. So the ones and threes. So you are actually walking in step with the music and your friends. Hopefully they're all walking on the ones and threes. Oh, you'll, wow, that'll preach right there. Because we are called to walk in the Spirit. We don't want to walk all over other people walking out of step with the, Well. Oh, it's that kind of morning. Just hold on. Y'all won't be laughing here in a minute. All right, let's go here. Romans chapter 8. Let's go. Romans chapter 8. With all of that said, let's read this scripture. Let me just say this before we read Romans. I was going to say this afterwards. Romans chapter 8 is one of the pivotal chapters of the entire Bible. I kind of put it up there with Sermon on the Mount. Romans chapter 8. Somebody, this was a theologian who said once that if I had one chapter of the book to have in my possession, it would be Romans chapter 8. And that's the only one I had. It'd be Romans chapter 8. So here we see in Romans chapter 8, there's a lot of stuff. It starts out with no condemnation for those who Christ in Christ Jesus. It ends with no separation, right? It's powerful. It talks about the love of God. It's actually the love of God that we're not separated. That actually the power to walk in all the things of God is by the love of God. But in between there, he talks about this walk of the Spirit. And that's where I want to get to. Romans chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1, so we'll have some context. It says, therefore, we should read all of chapter 7, actually, before you read this one. But that's neither here nor there. Because this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, since it is weakened by the flesh, God did in condemning sin in the flesh by sending his own Son in his likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering, in order that the law requirement might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. What do I mean when we say the flesh? Let's get some definition. Let's not assume anything. Your flesh is your own desires, your own thinking, your own wants, right? The things that you want to do, right? So when he talks about the flesh, that is what he's talking about, right? I mean, it does have to do when your flesh is hungry, right? Well, that'll preach too. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it's unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Watch this. If, indeed, the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. We'll get to that in a minute. But here we go. We see this battle. Paul talks about in other places this battle of the flesh versus the Spirit. The things I want to do, I don't do. Right? The things I do, I don't want to do those things. How many of y'all can relate to that? The things I want to do, I want to do, I don't do them. Right? So there's this battle that goes on in the heart and mind of every believer. Every believer, it goes on. So the point is you can have the Spirit control you. Your human spirit that is connected to the Holy Spirit leads you. Or you can have your flesh lead you. Your own thinking leads you. So here's the question. So this is okay, can I just get real? I'm going to walk down here, just get eyeball to eyeball. Here's the thing that's kind of haunted me for the last couple of years. And not in the pandemic, I'm not talking about, I'm just saying, in this, it's just one of those things that nags at me. Can I get real personal? And I'm not looking at anybody. It's this idea that we can call ourselves Christians and do things that are not led by the Spirit. And not only do we not do them, there are times when you just, I don't even really care to do it. And so in my own mind, I go, how does this happen? How does this happen? That we are people that we say, yeah, Spirit lead me, but I'm not here. But not in this place. We say, I told you, you're not laughing anymore. We talk about, like, when we call ourselves Christians. Glad I went back to my notes. It's like, oh yeah, we're Christians. Yeah, and so what does that mean? We don't really like adultery and we really hate pornography. And we go, those are the big ones, right? And you got other big ones. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in that. We don't do that, right? Which is good. Don't do the big ones. Please don't. The big ones matter.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, don't commit adultery. Don't do it. But what about these? Like, so then it gets down to the personal. My wife and I were talking, and it's almost like sometimes we have this idea that we have this box of Christian words. Hope I can do this justice. This is my wife's, right? We have this box of these Christian words, like righteousness and mercy. And because they're these words that we really don't understand a whole lot, they don't really trickle down to our everyday life. Because they're church words.
That's right.
They're churchy words. But they don't land on us in an everyday life. So what does that look like? It looks like, I know I'm supposed to forgive. I know I'm supposed to forgive everybody. But you don't really know what they did. You don't really know how that hurt me. You don't really know. If you knew, you would have compassion on me. Because God is worried about your opinion of right and wrong. I know I shouldn't gossip, but this is really good. This is really good stuff. Like, you will not believe. Or we do it like this. We just need to pray. We need to pray for Wesley because Wesley. Have you talked to Wesley about it? Oh, no. But I know we shouldn't, but you know, I'm not doing that. I know, as soon as my husband starts acting the way I want him to act, then I'll show him respect. This righteousness, taking righteousness out of the box and bringing it down into everyday life, right? Living rightly. Well, I'm not going to leave you wives hanging, because when my wife starts showing me some respect, then I'll start loving her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Or how about this one? You know, I got some more. Just wait. If I haven't got to you yet, just wait. I'll get to you. You know, my spouse knows that when I tease her and kind of make fun of her in public, she knows I'm only kidding. Or I know what the Bible says about sex outside of marriage, but that's a really old book. But obviously, Jesus wasn't in 2022. Because our definition in 2022 of right and wrong is so much better than the creator of the universe. And having sex outside of marriage, how's that doing for our culture? How's that working for us? Or, sorry, singles, I know I should really find a godly spouse, but we're just dating.
Come on. Go there. Come on. Say that.
See, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2 says this, all a person weighs seems pure to them, but the motives are weighed by the Lord. Got really quiet. And let me just say, it's the old point, and I got whatever, however many pointing back at me, it's the truth. But let me just say, Christians, this shouldn't be. This shouldn't be. Either we believe or we don't. Romans chapter 1 says that how's it worded? Julie, do you remember how it's worded? Sorry. So he's teaching the Gentiles so that they may believe and obey and bring glory to his name. This whole thing is about bringing glory to his name. You know, when we don't bring glory to his name, now the world will never accept us. I get this. I get that. We don't need to give them other reasons why not to. When we don't walk the way God would have us to walk, do we misrepresent him on the earth? And we don't bring glory and honor to his name. Jesus said, it was real clear. He said, they'll know you're my disciples because of the way you love one another. Now, why does this all happen? Glad you asked. I think there's three things. I only have two in my notes, but I think there's three. I think I landed on three. The first one is simply this. And can we just be real? You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. I mean, you could be a moral, maybe trying to be a somewhat moral person. You're not a Christian. Because we're striving to be Christ-like. I didn't say it. Paul said it when he says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ lives in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So why does this happen? Maybe I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other person. Maybe they're not a Christian. And obviously that's not for me to judge. I'm not judging that. I'm not going to sit back and say, you're a Christian, you're not a Christian, you're a Christian. Look at your life, you're not a Christian, you're not a Christian. Right? That's between them, me, and the Lord. Right? Because watch this. If you're not a Christian, the Bible means nothing to you. There's no limits. There's no law. There's no make up your own right and wrongs. Amen? Make up your own definition of right and wrong. Make up your 2022 version of what's right and wrong, the way our culture says what's right and wrong. But not according to Scripture. Not according to Scripture. Or, why do we not do that? Maybe there's four. Or maybe, hear me. You're honestly struggling with that thing. You're honestly struggling. And I commend you. And let me just say, there's grace for you. How do you know there's grace for you? There's grace for me. Because I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. God is still growing me from glory to glory. I still got stuff. Ask my kids. Ask the people that are around me. I still have stuff. Right? But there's an urgency in me that that's not okay. That way I have is not okay. Or even like you're struggling with maybe this definition of right and wrong from our culture, and you go, I just don't really understand it. Just didn't really, but I want to. If it's wrong, then I'll say no. I'll trust God, your word, over my own thinking. You know what? Going back, I think we may have done people a disservice by just getting them to pray a prayer. Just pray a prayer. Pray a prayer. Just pray a prayer. Just pray a prayer. Just pray a prayer and God will work it all out. Just pray a prayer. Wow, that is not in the Bible. You realize the early church, early Christians, what the early Christians did before they were saying, I think I want to be a follower of Jesus. Not yet, you're not. Literally, they would. They would go, you know where they get catechism? The Catholic Church gets catechism? Actually, a really holy idea. Let me tell you what it's going to cost you to be a follower of Jesus for a year. And then they look at him after a year and go, you sure? And they go, nope, okay. Or they say, yep, all right, let's baptize him. A year. Just pray the prayer. Everything will be all right. Eternal security for everybody. Whoosh. I believe in eternal. Actually, I believe in conditional eternal security. Or maybe it's this. So I've done some study. I don't have time to fully go into it, but I've done some study on this idea and this concept of conscience. And let me just go ahead and right off the bat say it's not a fully formed thought, but there's some things I know now about your conscience. First of all, when I used to hear conscience, my spiritual religiousness would pop up and go, no, 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 conscience, no, no, no conscience. We don't believe in conscience, until I looked in the Bible and found the word conscience all throughout Scripture. And then I found, aren't you glad your pastor actually reads the Bible and like, can correct himself, right? Or let the word correct me. So I found out there's at least three things that your conscience can happen to your conscience. Your conscience can be pure. The Bible talked about a pure conscience before God. Your conscience can be defiled. And your conscience can be seared. You can have a pure conscience, which is really good. That's where you want to get to. A defiled conscience, probably defiled by the things of the world and thinkings of modern culture and thinkings of this and thinkings of that and your own figuring out what you think. Your conscience, right, can be defiled. But then your conscience can be seared. What does that mean? So let me say this. So what I've understood about conscience is that, this is kind of where it all falls apart a little bit, but this seems like your conscience is that place, it's almost like that decision-making place in your life where the Holy Spirit speaks to you through like somehow your conscience or something, and then you kind of make that decision, or your conscience makes, right? Does that make sense? I know it's kind of confusing. It's not always, but understand this. I think if we go here, we'll be safe. So if you have a defiled conscience, you're going to be led by that. If you have a pure conscience, you're going to be led by that. But what about this seared conscience thing? Where's my steak cookers? Where's my steak people? You like a good steak. I'm looking for people to go out to eat with or to go over to their house, right? If you know how to cook a steak, right, the most important thing about a good steak is the juices, man. I'm going to make y'all hungry. It's the juices. And we all know, right, if you want a good steak, you better sear that thing first so that those juices don't come out whenever you cook it, because you want those juices in there, right? So you sear it, both sides, on the sides, right, all over, and then you cook it. And then it cooks, and then don't cut it. Don't, when you pull it off the grill, don't cut it. Let it rest. Let it sit. My goodness, Lord have mercy. Have you ever seen somebody do that? Like pull it out of the thing. It's like, oh, that went all the flavor right onto the plate. Oh my gosh, just breaks your heart, doesn't it? Yes, you have done that. But what it is you sear that steak to keep the juices in. I need to sear. I need some juice. You sear that steak. What that does is it makes it impenetrable. Watch this. The more the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you what to do, directs you, the more you say no. It'll sear your conscience. The more you say, you know what, you should really walk in, let's. And then you come to a point where the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm trying to speak to you. I'm trying to give you life. I'm trying to give life and peace to you. I'm trying to impart my life into you. And you can't, because your conscience has been seared. And you can do that by saying, I know the Bible says that, I know the Bible said it, but I'm not really going to do it. I know that, I know what I'm supposed to be. And you can get to a place in your walk where it doesn't even bother you anymore. That's a dangerous place to be. There's got to be, like, God, listen. I think about a couple of examples. I think about the early church. And one of the things that I think about, that I remember hearing this truth and it just stuck with me and it really messed with me on my own compassion level and my own selfless attitude of being what it means to be a Christian. In the early church, there was a thing in modern culture that was called exposure. And in that, in what exposure was, it was basically it was back then version of abortion. So if you had a baby and you didn't want that baby, listen. It's crazy. You could put that baby out and let it be exposed until it died. And that was legal. Now, I want you to hear what the early church was going through at that moment. That's like horrendous, right? Horrendous. Early Christians, you got to understand, early Christians were broke, poor. I guess the prosperity message hadn't quite got to them yet. But they were broke, poor. You know what those early Christians would do? They would go out to the edge of the city and gather up the babies and bring them into their homes and take care of them. Like, can you imagine the inconvenience of you guys who have babies? And broke. Poor. But they would go out and they would gather up the babies. It was said among popular understanding of Christians of that day, not even the people who saw Christians that would write about what Christians looked like. You know what they would say about them? They would say they're some of the most loving, kind, good, wholesome people around. Non-Christians would say that about Christians. Can I say it as bold as I can? Do you know why we're losing a generation? It's not because they took prayer out of school. It's not because the government did this. It's not because the government did this. It's because Christians forgot their mission. The mission was to be an example of who Jesus is. And every time we sacrifice our conscience for our pleasure and our safety and our comfort, we tell the world what we believe is not really that big of a deal.
Yeah, come on.
Come on, church. How do you know that we're losing it? Because I talk to them. Because this is what they heard. This is what they heard. Come on, church. This is what they heard. When you're a Christian, you do this, you do this, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. But I saw mom do this. I saw dad do this. I saw the pastor do this. I saw the other guy do this. I saw the other. They called themselves Christians. So I guess those morals didn't mean a whole hill of beans to them. And we want to point our finger to the world. Some of you like Jordan Peterson. You know what he said the other day? He said, you know what? That could be controversial. Sorry. Shouldn't have mentioned his name. What he said was this. Sometimes what we do is we like to point at the problem that's bigger for us to solve than for us to take personal responsibility of what God has asked us to do. And it's easier to point at the bigger problem than for you and I to walk in the manner that Jesus has for us to walk. We okay? No. No, we're not okay. We're not okay. But as our church slogan says, it's okay not to be okay. Because we're going to grow. It's not Spirit lead them. It's Spirit lead me. It's not Spirit lead them. It's Spirit lead me. God, I want to have your character and nature. God, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Don't be like the, if you remember the Happy Days back in the day, that's old people in here, right? All of us old people. It's like, well, No, Lord, 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 you're right. Your definition of right and wrong is right. And God, I am the one who needs to change. God, I am the one that needs to humble myself before you. And walk in humility. Even when it hurts and is uncomfortable, and I don't really know why, God, I'll still follow you. If this is the cup you have for me, God, this is what I'll walk in. We were bought with a price, a high price, through the death, burial, and resurrection. I'm not bored with that truth. I'm not bored with it. It's still alive in me. That I forgive. Why do I forgive? Because God forgave. Have you seen me? My imperfections. Your struggle with your personal quiet time, God sees all of it. And he urges you, come on, I want to give you life and peace. I want you to have some of that peace, goodness, mercy, joy. Just follow me. Just follow Jesus. Follow me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what's great? 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just. He writes this to Christians. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all of our wickedness. Listen, got good news for you. You want some good news? Your conscience that's been seared or defiled, God wants to heal it and soften. He has the amazing miracle power to soften up your conscience. And you can start saying yes to the things of God. Repentance is really just this. It's stop saying no and start saying yes. I say yes to him. I say yes to his ways. I say no to my own ways when they contradict his ways. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all wickedness. The truth is we belong to Jesus. It's a paradox, right? That when we belong to someone else, we become free. When we belong to him, we become free. It's a paradox. What'll change in you? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. You know what the Holy Spirit wants to pour out of you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. To others, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Because I'm a Christian. Because I'm a follower of Jesus. We were in the men's group. If you're in the men's group, you'll remember this. We were talking about, opening a door for women. We were talking about that. And Dan Hughes says this. I haven't stopped thinking about it. He's amazing. You should get to know this guy. Wisdom pours out of this guy. He says this. You know what? I don't really open the door for them. He says, I open the door because it's who I am. I don't do these things because of it's what I'm supposed to do. I do these things because it's who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian, little Christ, right? Definition? I am a follower of Jesus. I am Star Wars fans, I am his Padawan. That's me. Teach me, great Yoda in the sky. That's a little heresy, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. All you Star Wars fans didn't think it was heresy, did you? Like, amen, amen, I got that. Thank you. Trust in Jesus, you will. Sorry, that was terrible. I was saying it and saying, don't do it, don't do it. The things you don't do. All right, in spirit. It's a private joke with the band. I'm a follower of him. I am his Padawan. He is my teacher. So where are we? Let's all stand together. You know what happens when you start doing this? It brings life to you. You'll watch your faith level grow. Remember, faith is of your spirit. Your hope will be restored. Love will be freely given. best of all. It's the chariots of fire guy. When I run, I feel his pleasure. I feel the pleasure of God. He says, that's it, David, go. That's my image, son, go. Now show people. Show people how good I am. Show people how forgiving I am. Show people goodness. Show them what the joy of the that God would say, show me what my joy is looks like. Show them. Because listen, we live in a generation that doesn't know. So God is saying, he's saying, who will go for me? In this room, who will go for me? Who will lay down their lives, their own desires, their own thinking, their own definitions of right and wrong, and run the race for him? You know what God will do? Once you give him your yes, he'll take that coal off the altar, and he'll put his truth in you, and he'll go, sear his truth. It's not about your friend. It's not about the person that you wish was here to hear this message. It's about you and him. It's not about the problem in the government this morning, although we got many. It's not about that right this morning. It's not about all the trouble, because listen, the trouble, their trouble is not going to solve the trouble of humanity. Remember what God did to you. Remember how you were lost in your sin. Remember that when you were at your worst, God reached down and said, no. I love you too much to allow you to stay where you're at. Come on. And he loved you in your mess. God's calling you up this morning. He's calling you for a reset this morning. What does that reset look like? Repent. We don't like that word anymore, but we'll use it. Repent. Turn around and go the other direction. It's you and him. Hear the love of God calling you this morning. Who will go for me? Who will go to your coworkers and show them the love of Jesus? Who will be the example of who God really is? I'm just going to say it. We've preached the gospel of other things for too long. It's time to preach the gospel of the truth. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That scripture is as powerful today when all the preaching, when John Wesley preached it. It's that powerful today. And whoever will call on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Come on, Jesus. Awaken us. Awaken us from our slumber. I called it for a couple of years the COVID slumber. Wake up. It's time to wake up to righteousness. Wake up to what God's called us to be. God's called us to be the church, his example. And I don't know about you, I don't know about who, I'm going. I'm all in. You say, well, you're full time. I wasn't full time for decades, wasn't full time. Running. If I can do anything for you, let me lead the charge. I'll lead the charge. Let me be the pastor of the church. I will lead the charge of righteousness, goodness. We can have conversations. You and I can have conversations about some of these things that you struggle with. We'll help you. We'll watch God heal you. We'll have prayer rooms with you. We'll help you to get you back on the track to run your race. If you have issues, listen, hear me clearly. Like, we need to talk about these. You have issues. Say, I don't know. This is what the world says about morality, but this is what I see in the Word. I'm having trouble. Will you help me? Yes. Let's sit down with me. We'll talk. Listen, no questions are off limits. Not in this church. We have to change. Father, we thank you. Look to him. We love you this morning. God, we repent. We ask you, God, to change us. This is what I just heard from the Spirit of God. He said, tell him that if you provide the yes, he'll provide the rest. If you provide your yes, he'll provide the rest. But I don't understand. I don't understand it all. God says, don't worry about it. Just provide your yes. I'll do it. Whatever you say, God, I'll do it. I'll step out on the water and walk where I don't know the sure footing. I'll do it. I'll walk that way. So right there where you're at, I'm not going to call you all up and all that stuff. We could. Maybe we should. But right there where you're at, you and him, just say, God, I give you my yes. Right where you're at. God, I give you my yes. And all of my, I don't have it all figured out. Maybe you're in this room this morning, you say, you know what? I don't even know really. Now, you say, I don't even know if I'm even a Christian or not. Awesome. God accepts you right where you're at. Just as you are, come. You can make it right here this morning. Say, yes, I choose to be a follower of Jesus. I choose to have, to believe his death, burial, and resurrection this morning. I know there's people in here. You say, I've faked it for all this time. Today is my day. Today is my day. I want to make it right today. Or maybe you just say, I have my conscience has been seared and I've said no way too many times, and I don't want to live like that. I want to honor God. God hears you this morning. Maybe you've had your own right and wrongs determined and defiled and all of those things, and you have a lot of questions. God hears you right where you're at. Just hurry. You're not disqualified. Just come. So with all those things, let's pray. And we'll all lead it together. Let's all pray together. For those who you say, I need to make sure. We used to say back in the day, to make sure that you know. And making a fresh commitment even. Let's all just pray this. If you mean that in your heart this morning, you want to make a commitment to Jesus this morning, just pray this. Say, Father, I thank you that you love me right where I'm at. In all of my mess, all of my confusion, I ask that you would help me. I believe in Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior, the one who bore my sin and can make me new. I receive the full work of the cross into my life right now in Jesus' name. And God, help me by the mighty Holy Spirit to walk in step with you. I want to declare right now, if you've prayed that prayer this morning, your sins are forgiven. Forgiven. All of your mess, all of your stuff, forgiven. That's the label that you wear now, forgiven. Let's continue to pray. Say, Father, I've allowed my own thinking to taint my right, what's right and wrong. And I've chosen what's been right and wrong to do. God, I repent. And I'm sorry. Help me. Soften up my heart. Unsear my conscience. That I will be open to you. I'm yours, Lord. I was bought with a price. Say this, say, I shall glorify you with my body and my life, with all that is within me. I will bless your holy name. In Jesus' name.